Hello, this is Janice Kaufman, and this is It's Not Personal, It's Business. This is a radio show talking about the challenges of small and women-owned businesses in Baltimore City. Our guest today is Trish White, who is the owner of Tempachi Salons in Fells Point. Hi, Trish.
Hi, Janice. How are you?
I'm good. One of the reasons why we brought you on here is you're a business owner and you're a woman business owner, so we want to talk about these challenges and also talk about, you know, some of the positives and maybe even some of the negatives about having a business in our little community of Fells Prospect, Fells Point. So, okay. One of the first topics is, you know, a lot of people are interested in maybe being their own business owner. Some of the costs that are incurred when you decide you want to run your own business, you know, such as insurance and marketing and leasing space, such right. as that. So maybe you can touch upon some of those.
Sure. Well, I would say definitely, you know, your number one cost with a business is always salary. So depending on your employees and what you have going on there. And in our business, we're also required to have a workman's compensation insurance above and beyond what the state requires because, mm-hmm. I mean, in a hair salon, there are, you know, situations where you could get injured. You're working with chemicals, you're working with sharp objects. So we have, you know, some higher insurance costs than probably your regular business. We have to carry extra liability to protect our clients as well as the staff.
Is that's a state requirement or a federal requirement? Just out of curiosity.
I am not certain about that. I do know that as far as our individual licensure as hairstylists, it is state by state. Okay. So I'm actually going to say that is a state requirement because that's who we pay the insurance to. So there's that. So definitely payroll is number one. And then, you know, cost of goods is probably your second, you know, supplies. Mm-hmm. Again, it's relative to the business, but in our business, we do use a lot of products, color, shampoos and conditioners, things that we need to complete the service. So that's probably my second highest cost is the products that we buy. So working with a good distributor, you know, if you're in a restaurant or some kind of business where you're getting supplies, I think having that relationship with your distributor is really key, mm-hmm. you know, so that when things are available on sale, when you can buy large quantities and get a discount, they really partner with us as far as education for the salon and also helping us with marketing materials and promotions.
Well, you're a Paul Mitchell salon.
That's right. We're a Paul Mitchell focused salon, which means we only carry Paul Mitchell products. And one of the main reasons for that, I mean, the products perform really well. But in addition, they provide us with so much support and mm-hmm. education. So again, that partnering with a company that's going to support you mm-hmm. is really key because Paul Mitchell is the number one most consumer recognized brand in the industry. So just by being affiliated with them, we're kind of tagging on to that brand recognition. Mm-hmm. You know, that we're in a really transient area. So when people move here to Baltimore, whether they're with Hopkins or University of Maryland, that brand recognition, that Paul Mitchell recognition gives them that sense of comfort. So it takes our small business, you know, we're a 300 square foot salon, right. give or take a couple of feet, but puts us, you know, like shoulder to shoulder with a company that's a $1 billion company. So we just kind of tag onto that recognition. I've had people say, you know, are you a Paul Mitchell franchise? You know, how, you know, are you owned by Paul Mitchell? So I'm more than willing to, you know, be part of that, like be affiliated with right. Paul Mitchell, because it just really elevates our brand as well.
Well, and it's such a well-known and, you know, well-respected brand out there internationally.
So, right, yeah. exactly.
Right. I mean, I myself being a small business owner, our company, Waterfront Technologies, IT, marketing, graphics, and advertising, I can tell you, being a partner with somebody or another company, it really does help because you can sort of share the load, share some of the costs, and, you know, you can get your name out there that much quicker. So it is definitely a valuable tool as a small business person. one of the things, issues that I've had as a small business owner, and I'm wondering if you've had the same experience, there's also a certain cost, as a personal cost, when you're a business owner, because it's kind of hard to actually take a vacation. So maybe you can, I mean, you know, I'm more than happy to tell you some of my stories, right. But yeah, I wanted to see, you know, and I know it's, you actually are one of the, not only are you the owner, you're one of the stylists there. So, you know, if you could talk about that.
So definitely, we've been in our current location almost 9 years, and I probably did not take a vacation for maybe the first 5 years that I owned the business. That wasn't, now I say vacation, I didn't, I did some business-related travel, mm-hmm. conferences and trainings, but I did not take a vacation or leave the salon for something that was not business-related.
It's one of the things that I find so interesting. Many people want to be a small business owner because they think they can take time off whenever they want to. And that's just not the case. I mean, you know, even the owner of Baltimore Internet Radio can probably attest to that, you know, particularly when you're starting a new business. There is no vacation. You're always working 24/7.
It's true. Even on my, you know, quote, days off, you know, getting supplies, like running to Costco for things like paper towels and, you know, cleaning supplies and then, you know, meeting with companies. Like, you host our website for us. And, you know, so a lot of times we meet on Wednesdays, my day off, which is great because you're so flexible to do that, which is one thing that I do like about working in the neighborhood and with other local businesses. Mm-hmm. So not just partnering, you know, say with Paul Mitchell, which is a huge international brand, but trying to work as much as I can within the community with other small businesses that can support us because of that flexibility.
Right. Well, I mean, it's also working locally, and I, you know, I've touched upon this, you know, in other interviews, being able to do some business and trade. Mm-hmm. It's never a bad thing. I mean, Trish does my hair, so.
Yeah, it is.
You know, sometimes we can do a little push-pull that way, and that's really helpful. So, okay. Our next topic is, have you ever felt as a woman-owned business that you've been treated differently by banks or, you know, people that you've been dealing with when you've been as a business owner, that kind of thing?
I've seen a big change just even in, say, the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. I did at one point have another location, and that's when I first got into having my own business. And so starting that, I did take out a small business loan. I worked with the SBA. You know, worked with the bank for some financing for, you know, a short-term line of credit. And I remember then, you know, having someone, you know, is your husband going to sign? You know, do you have another partner? You know, they look at you like it's you know, it's just you. It's, you know, you're doing this all by yourself. They're kind of looking, you know, where's that man that's going to, but I can say that in recent time, I haven't run into that at all, which I think our business, the salon industry, is primarily a female-run mm-hmm. industry. So, you know, maybe things are a little different with ours because it is a great industry for women to be in.
Right. Well, I just a little factoid there. In 1988, the House Bill 5050, the Women's Business Owner Act, was passed in Washington. And that is the first time, that is when they eliminated all individual state laws that required women to have a male relative sign for a business loan. So before 1988, if you were a woman-owned business, you couldn't even get a business loan unless you had a man co-signing for you.
That's crazy.
Not that, I know, and it's not even that long ago. If you think about it, it's pretty crazy, but... So, I mean, I know as a business owner myself, I've run into these stumbling blocks, and it's frustrating. It is improving, and now that the SBA has a woman-owned small business program and designation, it's supposed to give women-owned businesses more opportunities in federal contracting. So we'll see. It was only passed last year, and it was being studied since... President Clinton was in office. So this idea came about back in the late 80s, early 90s, but it's taken this long for them to actually have it up and running. So our next topic is marketing small businesses in a difficult economy. We all know that, you know, it's not been easy the past few years, particularly for us small business owners. But I'm curious, I know your business is doing well, I always ask, and granted, everybody, even in a bad economy, everybody wants to look good, and that's a wonderful thing. But I know you do a lot of marketing programs, and you really have thought outside the box when you're doing your marketing, and it seems to be fueling your success. So I'd like to hear more about that.
Okay. Well, when we first opened, we did take out print advertising in the local city paper, which is a local weekly that is, you know, a demographic of kind of like younger, hipper, cooler people. And we advertised in that on a biweekly basis. And we also advertised in the Johns Hopkins newsletter on a monthly basis. And, you know, it's fairly expensive. I mean, a business card sized ad is going to set you back a couple $100s, you know, every time you advertise. So we did that for a while, and I felt like that was more of a branding kind of advertising. Mm-hmm. I never really had people specifically say, we came in to see you because we saw your ad in the city paper. And I would even run specials to try mm-hmm. to gauge it. You know, like, are people going to come in and reference this ad? And it just didn't really happen. So what I've found is absolutely hands down the best is word of mouth, referrals. And in salon promotions that we do. So we're very active. We're bordered and overlapped by three community associations, mm-hmm. the Fells Prospect, Fells Point, and
Upper Fells
Point. Upper Fells Point. I know, they're all so similar. And then even Butcher's Hill. I live in Butcher's Hill, which is only a few blocks away from the salon.
And Canton's not far either.
Canton's not far, although we don't advertise in their newsletter. But we try to be, whenever they've got, you know, a bingo, a supper, they need, you know, some type of donation, mm-hmm. a raffle, we are always partnering with them, and we advertise with them. And for the price of one business card size ad with, say, the city paper, we're getting a year's worth of advertising mm-hmm. in their newsletter. So it's really reaching our demographic, because we are a community salon. Mm-hmm. We're that neighborhood salon, and these are the people that can walk to us, and that's just our demographic. Right. There's not a lot of parking in Fells Point, mm-hmm. so it's not ideal for people to drive in from far away and try to find a place to park and see us. We don't have off-street parking.
Right.
But for people in the neighborhood who can walk, we're perfect. Because,
well, I know you also attract a lot of bikers too.
We do. We worked with the city and got a bike rack installed, which is free, and I would highly recommend any business in the community to just contact the city to get one. It doesn't cost you anything, and that has helped us a lot, because there wasn't anywhere for people to lock up their bikes within a sight line of our salon.
Right.
So that made people a little nervous, and now we've got the bike rack right out front. And the city is doing a lot more with biking and bikers. There's Bike More Baltimore. They're starting to do Friday right. night events. And we work with them as well. They just did a ride, a charity ride, and we donated to them. So we do a lot mm-hmm. of donations to local community efforts to get our name out there. And then word of mouth, and also email marketing. The software program we use for the salon is great, and we collect email addresses, and I don't overuse it. I might do one a month, one every 2 months. Right. I personally don't like to get a lot of emails in my inbox like every day from somebody, so I try to limit it to something that I think is really of value to our customers, so that when they do get it, they're not like, ugh, you know, another right. email from Tempachi, let me just delete this, but rather, oh, it's probably something good, because I don't get that many. Mm. And then you know, props to you for our website, because our website is really great, and people do, you know, search out, like, you know, best hair salon, and, you know, through whatever magic you do to put in tag words. So
well,
that it
tell
comes
us
up.
About these awards. I mean, I know Tempachi has gotten quite a few awards.
We have, you know, through the city paper, best place to get a haircut, best place to get a cheap haircut. So, and that's the people of the community voting, which, means a lot.
Right.
So again, that, you know, that word of mouth, Yelp, which people use mm-hmm. a lot these days to find services. I would say second to word of mouth, you know, because when people, new people come in, we do say, how did you hear about our salon?
Right.
So number one is definitely, you know, my friend, my girlfriend, my mom told me. But number two is probably I did an internet search.
Hmm.
And so either just how the website places or through Yelp, we have high Yelp ratings. And that's how people find us. So I would say word of mouth is number one and internet is number two. So to have a good internet presence, I think is really important.
I know that you also do some specific neighborhood discounts. So can you tell us about that?
Sure. So to people in the community association, we do offer a 20% discount on their services. And also for Hopkins University people, we offer a discount on products. And I feel like our services are very reasonably priced mm-hmm. to begin with. And like I say, we did a free haircut for doctors mm-hmm. on World Doctors Day. Again, because we are so close to these different, you know, teaching hospitals. And a lot of our customers are medical residents, medical students. And we just wanted to give them a thank you for all their, you know, hard work and dedication. You talk about small business owners working a lot, but mm-hmm. medical students are working 80-hour weeks. And
they still want to look good, too.
They do still want to look good. And so we have a lot of doctors, a lot of nurses, a lot of teachers that come in. And we do days to recognize each one of those.
Okay. I mean, what I think what we're coming out of this with is, and it's something I say to all of my clients and something that I base everything on, is know who your audience is. Clearly, it's taken a few years, mm-hmm. but you've defined your audience as people in the neighborhood of your salon, and that's who you target through your advertising, your website, your discounts and such, and it's working. So that's a very critical part of marketing, is to think about who your audience is. Trying to designate that. Let's talk a little bit about who you've got working at the salon. I know you've got some great stylists working for you. Maybe you could tell us a little about them.
Sure. So we're really fortunate in having a great team, and that does make so much difference. So when you talk about, you know, learning as you go, kind of hard knocks. What I've discovered is that you really want to have the right people around you. Mm-hmm. And you can teach skills, but you can't really teach people to be nice or to fit with the culture of your business. And I think sometimes, I know definitely I didn't give that enough consideration mm-hmm. upon first opening, was the importance of culture and that you're all on the same page with, you know, like we're all animal lovers. We're all, we all live, I think, everyone except for one person lives in the city of Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So again, that kind of city feeling, like we know the neighborhoods, the people that come in, right. A lot of them are people that we know. We all frequent local businesses, so mm-hmm. we're kind of all on the same mindset in that way. So my assistant manager, Richard Smith, he's been with me now almost 4 years, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing hair for almost 20 years, so he's really experienced. He comes from a hairdressing family. His mom was a barber in Ohio. And so he's been around the business his whole life. And, you know, he's kind of like the solid rock in the salon.
Right.
And then our other stylists have all been with us for the most part over a year. And again, all live in the city. A couple of the girls live on the other side of the park.
Mm-hmm.
And we are growing, which is great. We just expanded to 7 days a week. And we just added a new stylist in March, Candace. She lives in Highland Town. She's really doing well. She's already had a couple of Yelp reviews, mm-hmm. 5-star Yelp reviews, yeah. Which is great. And I work with an apprentice. So she is the one person that doesn't live in the city. Her name is Elsa, and she drives all the way from Hanover, PA.
Oh, my. She bringing pretzels, I hope, every day?
No, I should ask her about that. but she, talk about, you know, our industry is great for women, and as an employee, you can be very flexible with
right.
your hours. So she's a single mom. She's got 3 kids. You know, she's really a hard worker, and she's looking for an opportunity for her. You're not limited in this business
no.
by how much money you can make. You know, if you're willing to work hard, you know, the sky's the limit for you. So she's apprenticing with me. There's not an apprenticeship program in Pennsylvania, which is why she comes to Maryland. But if she were to go to school, she'd have to go full-time, which really doesn't work, right, you know, with her schedule, with her kids. And she'd probably have to pay about $20,000 a year to go to school. So instead, she's working, you know, earning a small salary, plus learning as she goes, and, you know, have the opportunity to be flexible with her schedule. So she's been a great help to us. And we also just hired another assistant, and she's currently going to a Paul Mitchell school and working with us part-time. So we've got seven people on staff now, and like I said, we're open 7 days a week. So things are moving right along.
Well, I know that you don't have a lot of turnover staff-wise, and I think that is a true testament to your salon, because when there is a lot of turnover with stylists there, you know, it's, you wonder if things are working so well. You know, I don't know if anybody else has seen that show on Bravo about the hair salon.
Oh, Tabitha. We love Tabitha.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, that's usually the issue there, is that, you know, there's some turmoil with the people that work in the salon together, and that certainly doesn't seem to be an issue with your salon, that, you know, people are very, feel warm and welcome, and there's not a lot of tension, and that's when you go to a salon, you certainly, that's the last thing you want. That's why you're going to a salon, to get rid of the tension and your lousy hair.
Right. Well, part of our hiring process, and this, you know, kind of evolved too, was it's not just me. We have a 3 to 4 visit process. And one of the steps is, after I've talked to the people, you know, the potential new person, they come in and they sit down with everybody in the salon. So it's not just me making the hiring decision, because you're right, we're such a small space, 300 square feet. We work as a team. You know, somebody might come in, and, you know, if you come in to see me and I'm still finishing my last guest, someone else might start your shampoo, or, you know, if you've got a color on and I'm doing something, someone else might shampoo off that color. So we all work together so that the guest has a great experience. And yeah, no tension. You definitely don't want that in the salon. So everyone sits down, and with me not present, and they'll talk, and they'll get the real deal out of them.
Right.
So then afterwards, we all have a little powwow and say, you know, what do you think? And I've had people come in for interviews, and I thought, yeah, they're okay. And then the other people are like, no, that person's just not going to work here. So it is important, I think, especially in a smaller business with fewer employees, that, you know, maybe everybody has a bit of a say in it, so they all get along.
I also want to point out, you know, your shop on Eastern Avenue, it's unisex. It's men and women come in. You know, sometimes these hair salons, they seem to lean towards men or women, but I know my husband, he gets his hair cut. I know a lot of men in the neighborhood who get their hair cut. So can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, what would you say would be your percentage?
Right. Well, I think the salon as a whole is probably a little more men than women. But we're open from 12 to 9. And what we see is different times of the day, it's almost like a snapshot of a completely different salon, if you were to compare. So, for example, noon to 2 is lunchtime, and it would be almost entirely guys. If you came in during that time, guys come in at lunchtime. We're a short walk from Harbor East, and all the big financials are over there, Legg Mason, Morgan Stanley, T. Rowe. So a lot of those guys are walking over on their lunch hour for, you know, we book 20 minutes for a haircut. And because we do take appointments, it's super convenient for that business person. A lot of your more traditional barbershops that guys would go to don't take appointments.
Right.
So you're going to walk in and you're going to wait until you're next up. So it might be a half hour, it might be 2 hours. Whereas with us, because we take appointments and we also offer online booking, with everyone having their smartphones now, they can make their appointment on their phone, have a guaranteed time. I like to say we are very good about running on time. So, you know, for your professional guy, that's important. They need to get in and get out what's convenient to their schedule. So 12 to 2 is a lot of guys. Mid-afternoon, we see a lot of local bar and restaurant people come in before their shift. So, you know, that 2 to, say, 4 o'clock people are coming in prior to going to work in Fells Point. Mm-hmm. So that's great. So that's more that fun, funky, like those people, you know, are doing some fun hair. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of piercings, a lot of tattoos. So that's almost opposite from the guys you're going to see in the suits and ties,
right.
You know, from 12 to 2. And then 4 o'clock, teachers start rolling in. They get out of school. And then evening is, you know, your typical people that worked all day, or a lot of moms. Like, we'll have a lot of moms late at night because they have to wait for their husbands to come home, get the kids in bed. So the fact that we're open until 9, we have a lot of moms come running in at 8:30. Like, I'm just so glad that you're open.
Right.
You know, the kids are asleep, and now I can get my hair cut.
Okay. Could you tell us your exact location?
Sure.
On Eastern Avenue?
We're at 1722 Eastern Avenue, and that is Eastern between South Broadway and South Ann.
Okay, great. And do you have any special promotions that are running for, well, we're almost at the end of June, but June going into July that you can tell us about?
Well, July, August, we do a semi-annual leader sale, which is really popular, kind of considered a back-to-school stock-up sale on our products. So that's what we're going to be doing for July, August. The leaders are a great way to save money. It's a huge savings just by itself, but on the sale, it's about a 40% savings.
Yeah.
So we will definitely be sending out an email on that as well. But that's one of our top promotions that people will wait for all year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they start asking around this. They know it's around this time of year. What, you know, are those leaders going on sale again? So that's a big one. And then we're going to be doing something mid-August for the teachers because they get their haircuts. It's kind of a sequence. First, the teachers come in and get their haircuts for back to school. Then the college students, because the colleges go back earlier. And then the elementary school kids. Mm-hmm. So August into the first week of September is huge back to school haircut time.
Okay. And could you give any, can you give the people out there any advice for, I mean, we're in late June here. Everybody's going to be outside under the sun. Any advice you could give to people to protect their hair out there?
Definitely. We have some products, limited edition products called Sun, and it is special UV protection for the hair. There's a shampoo, a conditioning mask, and a spray leave-in treatment that will give UV protection, will prevent your hair color from fading, but the mask also gives the moisture to your hair that you need from the sun, the air. People that swim, I definitely recommend a clarifying shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Paul Mitchell Shampoo Number 3, which removes chlorine from the hair. And then you want to follow that up with a good deep conditioning treatment.
Okay. I think we're going to, you know, thank you, Trish, for coming in and speaking to us. Trish, owner of Tenpachi Salons. They're on Eastern Avenue between Broadway and Ann Streets in Fells Point. Website is www.tenpachisalons.com. Phone number?
Is 410-522-0074.
And your hours again?
12 to 9, Tuesday through Friday, Saturday from 9 to 6, Sunday from 10 to 3, and Monday from 11 to 7.
Great. Thank you so much. And I can personally attest to what a wonderful salon is. They do my hair, and my hair looks fabulous.
Thanks, Janice.
Thanks again. This is Janice Kaufman from It's Not Personal, It's Business. Come and listen to our show again. Thank you.